Welcome to Driven to Business with your host, Eddie Mayfield. Driven to Business is a business forum program that focuses on success principles in business. And now, it's time for Driven to Business.
Good morning and welcome to this week's edition of Driven to Business. I am your host, as always, Eddie Mayfield. We're glad you're here. Keep in mind, we are streaming live on biz1190.com, and today's program and links to our guest will be on eddiemayfield.com, so check us out there. Our guest today, I'm very excited to say, is George Wendt. George is the founder and owner of Oars. And I'll get him to tell you more about that, but if you've ever thought you'd like to go rafting on an adventure river somewhere or take a big trip through the Grand Canyon or other places, then George is a person you ought to be talking to. George, welcome to Driven to Business.
Thank you so much, Eddie. Nice to talk to you in person, and I understand you've been on a few of our Grand Canyon trips.
I have. I've been twice through the Grand Canyon and once on the American River, and you guys are a lot of fun to go anywhere with. George, you know a lot of entrepreneurs, they build businesses based on their passions, and you certainly have done that. You were just pretty much nuts about rafting rivers, and then you started a company. Tell us about that. How'd you do that?
Well, it was accidental. I was a school teacher. I had the good fortune of going down the Colorado River a long time ago, back in the late 60s, and I did river rafting then as a hobby, and I started taking other teachers on trips, and then students started wanting to go on our trips. I remember promising my wife one time I would never give up teaching to pursue this crazy rafting business, but it did happen over a period of years.
You know, George, a lot of people do have hobbies and they don't turn into businesses, but you did do that. Was there one thing that sort of tripped it for you, when you decided you're going to quit being a school teacher and do this rafting thing full time?
Actually, it was fortuitous. There was a fairly major earthquake in Los Angeles in 1971, and my wife was very fearful of earthquakes, and she said, George, we have to move back to Minnesota. That's where she had grown up. I had no interest in moving to Minnesota, so we compromised on Northern California.
You know, George, when I was living in Texas and thinking about starting a business, I was the marketing manager for a company out there, and I had determined that the best place to start the kind of business I wanted to start was Los Angeles, Chicago, or Atlanta, and my wife said she was not moving to either Los Angeles or Chicago, so that's how I ended up in Atlanta.
Okay, well, it's interesting how those decisions early on makes a difference in how a business or a career turns out.
Exactly. You know, speaking of where you are out there, you're headquartered out of Angels Camp, California. I've actually been there from going through the American River trip with you guys out there. And that, if people that don't know listening, that is really in the middle of nowhere. And I mean, it may not seem like it to you, but it is in the middle of nowhere. How on earth did you end up there?
Well, Angels Camp is sort of the geographical center of California, and it was right next to the Stanislaus River.
Right.
The Stanislaus River was the river in California. In fact, one of the major rivers in the West that started the rafting boom in the 1970s. And the Stanislaus River offered great two-day trips. And we had come there many times from Los Angeles. It was about 340 miles. And we finally decided this is where we'd like to make our home.
You know, it's also interesting to me when I was out there, and probably of interest to anyone here in the Atlanta area, is that people are still mining gold in those rivers up there.
They really are. And this year, because of lower than normal snowpack, they found that the dredging has actually been possible in some rivers that normally would have a lot more river flow on them. One of the claims to Angels Camp is that the largest gold nugget in California was found about a mile from my office, 197 pounds.
Good grief.
You can believe that.
Wow, that would be quite a find, 197-pound gold nugget. You know, I've been through the Grand Canyon twice with you, but really the scariest rapid, I think, I've rafted a lot of just other smaller rivers, either on my own or with someone, but I think the scariest rapid I've ever been in, at least for the day that I went on it, was with you guys. It's called Tunnel Chute, which I guess is on the American River. I guess that's right.
It is. Tunnel Chute is a place where the early miners back in the 1850s or 1860s decided they wanted to expose the meander of a river that they thought offered good dredging opportunities. And so they actually blasted a new tunnel for the river about 40 feet high, thus making this oxbow of the river free of the original river flow. And so going through Tuttle Chute, you can definitely feel that acceleration, and it has some exhilaration with it, but also a little bit scary.
We have a picture that was taken of my dad and some other friends. We were in a raft, and the raft is pretty much vertical. You know, in fact, I'm underwater. You can't see me at all. But
you stayed in it.
I was going out of that raft. I can tell you that I was hanging off a dear life in that thing. Tell us a little bit more about oars. By the way, George's website is oars. That's OARS.com. And George, oars stands for something. What does it stand for?
Well, my wife came up with the name originally. It was Outdoor Adventure River Specialists, but we figured that was way too long of a name, so we just took the acronym oars. And it served us well because we were the first raft company operating trips in the Grand Canyon that did not use motors. So we were wanting to let people know that we used oars rather than a motor.
You know, George, that interests me. I'm always interested in businesses that kind of find, that carve out a little niche for themselves. And you really did that, even in the middle of this rafting thing. You carved out a little niche there about that. I found that delightful myself, is the idea that you're not on a motorized. And I'm not knocking people that do motorized trips. I'm just saying I found it really fun to be on an oars-driven raft going through there. Do you hear that from people a lot?
We do. And the smaller raft, the oar raft, is only about 18 feet long, so it carries only usually four passengers plus a guide. My first trip through the Grand Canyon was with another company, and we used a large 36-foot bridge pontoon that carried 10 passengers plus guides. And I just thought, wow, if we could do this in a smaller boat, not only could we hear the rapids as we approached them, but would also make a little bit more exciting ride.
Right. Tell us a little bit more about oars. We've already alluded to the fact that you run the Grand Canyon, you run the American River, the Stanislaus River there in California, but you do a lot more than that. Can you just give us a brief overview of what someone might find if they're looking for a river adventure with oars?
Yes. So we run a lot of trips in California. That's probably where we operate more trips than any other single location. And we have people coming from all over the country, perhaps as part of a trip to San Francisco Bay Area or the Napa wine country or Lake Tahoe or Yosemite. And so we run a lot of 1, 2, and 3-day trips, including on the Tuolumne River, which is considered one of the premier rivers in the country. It's a wild and scenic river under the federal system. And we carry all supplies downriver with us when we go on that 3-day trip. But we also offer some 1-day trips in California that really offers people the river experience without necessitating any camping. We're fortunate to be able to run not only in the Grand Canyon, which is a 6 or 7 or 13-day trip if the people go all the way through the canyon, but we also offer lots of 4 and 5 and 6-day trips in Utah and Oregon and Idaho, which have turned out to be phenomenal family experiences.
I was going to ask you about that. You know, the Grand Canyon trip, which I've taken twice, I just thought it was beautiful, and I would like to do it again, actually. And part of it, I think, is the idea that at least I've only gone, George, I've gotten out at Phantom Ranch and hiked out to the South Rim there. It's what I've done both times, actually, which I really enjoyed. That hike, but you know, aside from just the rapids and the experience of it, the camping in there with a bunch of people is an experience all unto itself. Do you hear much about that from folks?
Yes, especially because the western U.S. has relatively clear air most of the time, and the night skies are quite phenomenal. People often see stars that they wouldn't normally be able to see in the more moist environment of the East Coast, except under very clear conditions. And we're very fortunate not to have mosquitoes on trips in the Grand Canyon, so people can actually quite often just sleep out under the stars And during the summer, it's still warm. 70 degrees is a common temperature at night in the Grand Canyon, or maybe even a little bit warmer than that. And so it's just really a very beautiful, tranquil time to see the sunset and have a good dinner and wake up to the first light.
It really is, and I think also just the idea of and I've done this several times there. You know, you wake up in the middle of the night and you're sleeping outside. Which, by the way, I guess you know we don't do this in the South. I camp in the South. I used to backpack a lot around here. We don't do that in the South very often because we have so much dew. You would wake up soaking wet if you did that around here and slept outside your tent just on the ground. But there in the canyon where it's so dry, you just sleep outside. You can if you want to, and again you wake up at 2-3 in the morning and this huge expanse of stars above you. And I've kidded a buddy that I went with this time. Our last night there, I woke up about, 3 in the morning. It was just so pretty. I thought this is my last night here. I just sat up in my sleeping bag and was just looking, just sitting there looking at it, really just thought I can sleep when I get home. You know, I was going to look at this. And I looked over, and my buddy was doing the exact same thing. he said the same thing.
That's great. Yeah, that's a memorable part of the trip, and it's one that often people don't even anticipate ahead of time, but it does become one of the highlights for them.
Well, I want to talk to you a little bit about as we're going through the program after the break, I want to talk to you about the team that you've managed to build around you, the excellent reputation that you guys enjoy, and the great customer service that you do give clients that come through there. I'll tell you a quick story just before break here. When I first booked with you, I did a lot of research to find out, you know, I just read blogs and blogs and blogs, and I ended up on your company for that. Well, the first night in Flagstaff we were going to go, I was a bunch of guys, and we went to a restaurant there. We're eating, and they could tell our accents. We're not from there, and they were saying, "What are you doing here? We're going to raft the river." And they said, "Who with?" And we said, "Oars." And the lady waiting on us said, "That is the best company out here." Said, you're going to be so glad you chose him. I don't know what you're paying her. But that was a good advertisement right there.
Yeah, well, that's great. I'm glad that she responded appropriately.
Yeah, good deal. You're listening to Driven to Business. I'm your host, Eddie Mayfield. Our guest today is George Wendt with Oars. Plenty more to come here on Driven to Business, so hang around. Welcome back to Driven to Business. I'm your host, Eddie Mayfield. We're here every Saturday morning at 11 o'clock here on Atlanta's Biz 1190 WAFS. And we're, as always, glad to have you with us. Our guest today is George Wendt. George is the founder and president of Oars, and you can find him at oars.com. I will also have links to George at eddiemayfield.com. Just go there, go to the blog section, and you'll find it right there. George, you know, you may not know this, but our company EMA, we provide a lot of field service all around the country on industrial motor drive type equipment, kind of a niche business, kind of like what you're in a way. And our guys work remotely. I don't see them very much. You know, I don't see them when they're in the field. They're out there working. But we enjoy an excellent, excellent reputation with our customers, and it all depends on building this team around you. Now, in your case, you have to do the same thing. We depend completely on the team that we have built around us. So, and I know that you do too. So talk to us about your team at Oars, how you find them, how you train them.
We've been very fortunate to have an excellent group of professional river guides. Some of them actually started with us back in the 70s, and they're still working for us. They love being out on rivers. We found the best way of finding guides that want to come into the business is by getting a recommendation from somebody who's already doing excellent customer service. The job of being a river guide sounds real interesting, but it's also pretty hard physical work. And the key really is a customer-friendly service mentality where people can get pleasure by actually helping to facilitate the outdoors for people who may not spend a as much time outdoors as the river guides do.
In fact, very few of us spend as much time outside as river guides do. I don't know anyone does. You know, the other thing is, I always felt with your guys, I felt completely safe. And I don't mean that I've been on rafting trips before, and I've been outdoors camping and backpacking and all that. So that wasn't a problem to me. But you are in an unknown environment, particularly for those of us from the southeast here. You're in a desert environment. It's not something we're accustomed to. But you know, they were able to sort of mix in that there's a part of it of being like you're in charge of a group and you've got a bunch of diverse people, so you sort of got to be the leader and be in charge, but at the same time, be very friendly and, as you had mentioned, customer-oriented. And your guys seem to do that very well. Do you think that's born in people? Do you train it? That's a culture, I think, within your company. And did that just start with people you hired, or?
It worked out very fortuitously with the first guides we hired, and then when we started realizing that we can really teach pretty much anybody the skills of rowing a raft,
right.
And if they have reasonable physical agility, they can learn how to maneuver the raft. But the much tougher component is the customer service and the friendliness and the non-irritability. And that is something that we try to just draw the people who already have the right personalities, and then we can train them with the river rafting skills.
I expect you do occasionally, I know none of us likes to badmouth our customers, but I'm sure you, like me, occasionally do get kind of a grouchy customer that you have to deal with. I will say this, the two trips that I took through the Grand Canyon, everybody in the group that we were there with were just fantastic. I don't recall anybody ever with us that was the slightest bit irritable or bad to be around. Everybody that was there was a good sport. Now, it may just be that a long trip like that through the Grand Canyon attracts that type of person to start with. I don't know.
I think it does, and it really gives me confidence in the integrity of people. We've had wonderful experiences with people going on our trips, our guests over the years, and I've shared that over the years, almost any of these people I could have invited into my home then say, oh, I have to go away. Would you lock up when you leave?
Right.
And everything would be perfectly arranged in the house. The dishes would be washed, and we just know that they were good friends, essentially, even though we had only met them on the river trip just a few days ago.
You know, I actually did not have this in my notes to talk to you about, but I was thinking on the way to the studio today, you know, one of the things in our normal lives is that they're very busy and we're constantly being distracted by all kinds of things. You know, we're around computers and cell phones and all that stuff all the time. Well, down in the Grand Canyon, you don't have any of that. You're just isolated from that. And one thing you end up doing when you're talking to people is you do actually talk to them, and you find that you're not asking questions to be polite to them. They're telling you their life story, and you actually find that you're interested in it. I suppose just from the fact that you have time to do that. And normally we don't have time in a lot of our lives to get to know people like that.
It's very refreshing not only to meet people who maybe are brand new acquaintances, but also the wonderful bonding experiences. We have fathers who bring their high school senior daughters off on a river trip before they head off to college to really have a deep bond. We have mother-daughter trips, and just the conversations that families tell us they have on the river trip without the outside distractions gives me the impetus just to know that we're doing a really good thing to share the outdoors with people that builds active dialogue on a deeper level.
George, do you have meetings with your group to sort of keep them motivated, like your river guys and your leaders, to keep them motivated, or do you just share stories with one another? How do you do that, or do you have to do that?
Well, I don't know that we have to, but one of the things that we're very fortunate with is that we get letters or emails from passengers who tell us that the experience they had on the river was very special, and that provides a tool that we can use just so easily, because we can scan a letter or we can forward an email to the guides specifically named on a trip, share that with their operations manager, And if it's a really outstanding passenger feedback, we share that with other staff in other areas, just as an example of what we're hoping everybody is going to do.
Right.
But also to say thank you for what you're doing, because we know it's a tough job, and this just gives them and us the attaboys that keeps us going for the rest of the year, because, you know, we're pretty busy from May through September and even into October, and we just never want to lose sight of the fact we're out there designing wonderful trips for our valued guests.
You know, encouragement really does pay dividends, does it? I heard a speech by the guy that wrote the 1 Minute Manager, Ken Blanchard, some years ago, and he was kind of joking. He said, you know, you never hear anyone say, I'm just sick to death of encouragement. You know?
Encouragement does wonders.
And I think it does, and even when you're dealing with situations that perhaps could be a bit tense. Even I was reading this morning, someone had said, you know, that after something doesn't go right, a word of encouragement to that person can just make all the difference in them, because, you know, everything doesn't always go right, and not everything happens exactly like you planned, and I'm sure you know this better than most, but I mean, you can have negative experiences with clients or with anybody. Things can just not go the way you plan. In your case, I suppose the weather could really muck up somebody's trip.
It can. Rain is the thing that can happen during the summer, although it's not too common in most of the arid environments where we operate. But a storm can sometimes bring people together, and even though they might say, I'm cold right now because this rain is getting me wet, it turns out that that is the glue or the community experience that people have that they look back on and say, that was a truly valuable part of the overall experience.
Yeah, George, I was part of, over in Alabama when I lived there as a young man, I was part of a group that formed a backpacking club over there that I think still exists in the area, actually. And we went our deal was we would schedule trips and we went no matter what the weather. And I always used to say, you know, you really get to know somebody's character when you're backpacking with them in the rain. I mean, that's just when you really get to know who you're with, and that, and whether or not you would, as you say, want that person in your house. You're listening to Driven to Business. Our guest today is George Wint, the founder of Oars. We'll be right back. She held him up and he held up for ransom. Welcome back to Driven to Business. I'm your host, Eddie Mayfield. By the way, as a reminder, we're streaming live on biz1190.com. Today's program will be podcast on Eddie Mayfield. That's E-D-D-I-E, Mayfield.com. So check us out there. We're talking with George Wint with Oars. George, this may be a hard question. You've been on so many rivers. What's your favorite river?
I think the Grand Canyon's number one. Number two is the Green River in Utah. It's the same kind of scenery that the Grand Canyon, but it's conveniently 4 days long, which makes it a little bit easier for people to fit into a busy schedule.
You know, one of your river guides had told me that they thought, I was asking them about going somewhere, and they said, you need to do the Green River in Idaho. That was their suggestion to me. Was to go. What makes you like those? I know why you like the Grand Canyon. There's nothing. I've always said anybody that lives in America should go to the Grand Canyon. It's just something you should go do. And I've been there a bunch of times before rafting it. But, you know, it is so different rafting. It's like a different world down there.
What draws me to that kind of country in the Utah-Arizona complex is the Red Rock Canyon country.
Right.
It's so very different than what people anywhere else in the country except Utah or Colorado or Arizona are going to see. And so the deep, vertically walled Red Rock Canyons are quite spectacular. They offer great hiking opportunities. And because it is a very arid environment, it makes wonderful camping. We supply tents, but quite often people don't even use them.
You know, I wrote a blog about my last trip through the Grand Canyon, and by the way, there'll be a link to that on the eddiemayfield.com. You can go look at that. But and on the last trip I took, George, the river level was quite a bit lower than it was the first time, which meant the rapids were not quite as big. But, you know, as you had mentioned just now, going through the Grand Canyon, the rapids are part of it, and that's all fun. But that's not anywhere near all of it. Even some of the day hikes and so forth around through there are just spectacular. So some of these hikes that you get to take in and around the Grand Canyon.
And the overall experience that combines the hikes and the rafting and the moments of just wonderful tranquility and good conversation with friends or new acquaintances, that makes an experience which turns out to be much more than the sum of the individual components.
You know, George, everyone that I know that's ever been on a trip with you brags about the food, which is almost remarkable of what you guys can do down in the canyon. How did you guys learn how to cook like that?
Well, it took us a while. We used to serve freeze-dried food.
That would be the scariest thing to me, frankly, if I were taking a trip through there. I'm afraid they'd be killing me before it's over with for the food.
But we learned as we found better insulated ice chests that we can now keep ice for a period of 13 days on a full Grand Canyon trip. And so we can have fresh meat and vegetables and fruit throughout the trip. And the guides have become a self-winnowing or a self-selecting group of competitors who are trying to prepare the best meals. And then we share those with guides in other areas. Most of the guides have learned how to use the Dutch oven to make wonderful omelets and baked desserts. And it's really quite a skill to do those wonderful meals in the outdoors.
I was actually surprised by that my first trip through. I was expecting, okay, we'll have hamburgers and, you know, one night and we'll eat sandwiches or whatever, which would have been fine with me. You're in the Grand Canyon. It'd be awesome. That's still great. But, boy, here they're coming out. We're eating grilled salmon and really great pasta dishes, and then they're baking cakes down there and so forth. You're like, are you kidding me? And, you know, great coffee in the morning, great breakfast. The trip we were on, the last trip I was on, one of the river guys, a female, had noticed that there were a bunch of us from Georgia. There were about six of us from Georgia there. And so she made, I guess she thinks all us rednecks eat this, she made biscuits and gravy. It was awesome.
Oh, good. I hope it was edible for your taste.
It was great. We don't eat that here that much anymore. We'd all be too fat. But it was really good. George, you have a beautiful website. And you also print a brochure that's really just fun to look at just from the pictures in there. But how do you market ORS? Is this a businessman? How do you market? How do you find clients?
The biggest thing we found is we need to run great trips because, candidly, word of mouth is the most valuable thing for us.
Right.
And people who go on our trips often come back and do a second or third trip, like you have, but they also tell their friends that they had discovered this company that really provided an excellent service for them at a good value for their money. And so that's what we specialized with. And I got that secret from a marketing director who I thought was going to be doing wonderful marketing for us. And after she'd worked for us a few years, she said, George, what we need to do is focus on customer service and quality. It may be a little slower than spending lots of money in promotion advertising, but it's the way to build a business long term. And I fortunately embraced her ideas, and we focused in on that. We spent very little on marketing except for producing a catalog and putting information on our website.
Again, encourage everyone to go to ORS, that's ORS.com, and check out their website. You'll enjoy reading. You know, I am one of those, I think when you and I talked, you had mentioned I was an evangelist for your company, and I sort of am. I was kidding one of your people out there, but you need to pay me a commission for the folks I've sent.
On
your trip. I've got two more friends that are going through the Grand Canyon with you in October of this year. And again, they're going through October. I told them, in my opinion, that's the best time to go through the canyon. But you know, I don't know if you're familiar. There's an author named Malcolm Gladwell, and he wrote a book called, he's written a number of books, but he wrote a book called Tipping Point. And in there, toward the end of Tipping Point, he begins to, and Tipping Point is about how little things become big things. And he uses the example of many examples of how things are marketed in there. But he makes an interesting statement toward the end. He talks about that with all of the marketing messages that all of us in America are just bombarded with constantly, there's just so many things we get hit with these days, either from a medium like radio or cable TV or the internet, or everybody's walking around with smartphones now, and you're just bombarded with messaging, all, you know, billboard signs all day long, that we've basically developed filters and immunity to that. And he makes a comment in his book and said, we are probably re-entering the age of word of mouth. I'm not sure we've ever left the age of word of mouth, but it goes to what you're talking about. They're really, it's like you said, you can spend a ton of money on advertising, but nothing beats word of mouth. And I think all of us in business would do well to remember that. And I think that's pretty wise what she told you. And what I like what you just said, you know, the way we get customers is to run good trips. There really is no substitute for that.
Yeah, and I appreciate you mentioning that book, Tipping Point. I'll have to check that out.
Yeah, Malcolm Gladwell was an interesting author. I enjoyed doing it. You know, back to the word of mouth, we've used examples up here of, like, you know, right here in downtown Atlanta, if I were looking for a restaurant to go eat lunch in, and I may have seen a bunch of advertisements about restaurants, but if I'm walking out of the building here and I ask somebody I know and say, hey, by the way, where would you eat lunch? And they tell me a place, I'm 90% likely to go right there, no matter what advertisement I saw or anything. And I think it's the same way in your business and your rafting business. And, you know, you guys do have competition, don't you? You're not the only people doing this out there.
Oh, yeah. There are lots of other rafting companies out there. And I just was in the office yesterday and was emailing a woman, and she said, George, why should somebody go with you? And it was easy for me just to summarize in two short paragraphs. And she called back a little later and booked her Grand Canyon trip.
So, I'd be interested to hear that in a real short note. Why should people go with you?
Well, the key fact is that we use smaller rafts than
right.
most other companies, and that provides the sound of the wilderness and conversations between people to freely be shared. And then I think it's the quality of our guides that it's easy to say we have top-notch guides, but the reality is we have many, many guides who've worked for us for 7 or more years. They're, in general, college graduates. In general, they're real nice people, and they see that their job is not only to get people down the river securely, but to share their love of the outdoors with people.
George, you know what your guides do that's very important, and any business owner would want this. They speak very highly. Your guides, just sitting around a camp at night, around a fire or something, just talking, your guides speak very highly of Oars, and your guides speak very highly of you. There is no griping about Oars. They like working with Oars. They like working for you. And that speaks very highly, I think. That has a lot to do with and you know, we're sitting around here as clients hearing this, and this is not prefabbed talk. This is just them talking.
Well, that's great. And we tell them they should say good things because we send spies on trips to find out what it is they're really saying.
Well, that gets back to how do you keep them motivated. That may be one way you put spies in there to tell them.
Secret shoppers.
Exactly. Is there a common thing you hear from clients when they go on a trip with you? What's the most common thing people say after they've been on any trip with you? What do they say? Maybe a first-time person.
The thing that we hear about our extended trips is quite often, that was the best vacation I have ever been on. And it sort of is jarring in a way, because some of these people are reasonably affluent. They've traveled to Italy and France, and they've gone all over the world. And they say this was the best trip. And if we ask them what they mean by that, they say the most meaningful, deep experience that they've been able to share with friends or with family members, and it just got deeper communication going that you wouldn't find at any alternative kind of vacation.
Well, I'll tell you something I've said about the Grand Canyon trip. Normally when I go on vacation anywhere, I enjoy it. I have a good time, and we've been all over it, and I enjoy it. But I'm always pretty much ready to leave by the end of the vacation. You know, you've been somewhere, and it's okay. This has been great, but let's go home. You know, enough of this living in a hotel stuff. When I'm in the Grand Canyon, you know, and it's the day before leaving or something, I'm not happy about it. It's like, man, I'm not ready to leave. I like this.
You know, well, especially when you know that you have to hike out at Phantom Ranch.
Well, that's true. But actually, that's fun too, though, actually. That's a big part of it. One more segment with George Wendt, great guest, and I hope you're enjoying the program. My name is Eddie Mayfield. You're listening to Driven to Business, and we'll be back in a moment. Welcome back to the final segment of Driven to Business. I'm your host, Eddie Mayfield, here every Saturday morning at 11 o'clock, and we're always glad that you're with us. We're talking today with George Wendt. George is the founder and the president of Oars, an outdoor river rafting company that's world-class. Check them out at oars.com. You'll be glad you did. George, you've been doing this a long time now. You've been in business a long time. What's if you don't mind me asking, what's the biggest mistake you've made, and what did it teach you, just in general, in business?
Let's see, biggest mistake. I guess I would say, in retrospect, I spent too much time at work and not enough time with my two boys and my wife. I focused so much on building the business. I am very fortunate now that both of my sons, even though they moved away from Angels Camp and moved to New York City, both of them came back, and they're now working full-time in the business. So I have good opportunities for spending time with them now, but I wish I'd spent a little more time as they were younger.
I think that is a story that a lot of us in business would say. I did not do what you've done in terms of being gone on long remote rafting trips, but I did travel a great deal when our business was in its infancy, and I have some regrets about that too. And I think almost everybody does it. You may not know this, two of my kids work with me, and it is a rewarding thing, isn't it?
It sure is. Well, that's great.
What's for you? What's the most rewarding part of running Oars?
Talking to people on the phone, either before they sign up for the trip or talking to them after the trip, where the thrill of what they've just experienced just glows from their phone conversation. And so it's hearing wonderful stories of how we met expectations or exceeded them. That's what keeps me going.
I have a friend out in California, as a matter of fact, who's he works with the oil industry out there, a very avid outdoor guy, has rafted all over the United States. And he told me a story that he and his brother, this is many years ago, he and his brother decided to raft the Grand Canyon. And they just got on this list, and, you know, after some period of time, it was a long time, but some period of time, their number came up, and they got to go. And he said they had never done anything like that before, so they, you know, read a couple of books and got some gear and got ready to go. He said that the second day in, they flipped the raft over and lost most of their stuff.
Uh-oh.
And of course, you know, the Grand Canyon's like, once you start, there's no getting out of this. You're here. And
you're definitely committed.
You're committed. So he said, I asked him how they live, and he said basically they were, I guess companies like Oars or others, just said we were basically just begging rafting companies to not let us starve, he said, and they were kind about it and helped them out. But he said, he told me when he heard I was going on a trip, it was before I went with you, and he said he would go with somebody like you, but he would never ever do that on his own again. He said, I don't do it enough to be good at it, and it's just, and he, I was telling him later about some things you guys did, and I even made me appreciate you guys more and how you do it from some of the problems he had that you just don't have, because you guys are much more professional at doing it and getting it going through there. Hey, what's the future going to hold for Oars? You guys got any new things going on? I know you do some things in other countries as well as here in the United States.
We have operated now in Fiji for about 15 years, and that's an unusual location for rafting.
Really?
But we're very happy to have a hand in preserving their tropical rainforest, and we're training the indigenous guides. All of our guides in Fiji are indigenous Fijians, and so it provides a wonderful cultural experience. And we run trips in other areas of the world as well, especially Chile or in Southeast Asia. But Fiji is the place that just has a fantastic one-day river trip that people can add to whatever scuba or snorkeling they're going to be doing there. And we just continue to focus in on family trips here and business facilitation trips. We get lots of team building trips where people are trying to put people into a little bit of an unusual situation, away from cell phones, away from temptations of too much alcohol, and they can really engage with people at a different level.
You know, I was reading in your brochure and talking actually to one of your guides. You guys do some things in Alaska too that looks kind of fun, some of the things you're doing up there.
Beautiful scenery up there. And we're working now with Wounded Warriors to make the therapeutic effect of the river trip be available for some of our veterans who've had their lives impacted by their service overseas.
George, I think I already know how you're going to answer this based on some things you've already said, but aside from your business there at Oars, or if not aside from it, at least above it, what's important to you? I mean, I guess another way of saying that is when it's all said and done, how do you want people to remember you?
As putting my heart into doing the best possible job, I am deeply religious, and I consider myself a believing Christian, and that's been real important to me as I've built the company over the years.
You know, I actually heard one of your boatmen say that. I'm not going to give his name, but he hit a rock or something, and he kind of uttered an expletive, and he said, "Don't anybody tell George I said that."
Okay, well, we don't judge anybody based on that.
I know.
the principles are key, I think.
I'm a Christian as well, and I can actually tell the way that you talk about your employees and about your family. That actually comes out in your dealings. And you know, I admire a person that does it like you, that you don't wear it on your sleeve, really, but it's just part of who you are.
Well, it's been an important component of what's made our company, and I'm just thrilled to be able to share that heritage with people who choose to go on our trips.
Well, you know, the future of Oars, I mean, do you see handing it off to your kids? Is that what you sort of see?
Yes, I hope to keep being able to work in the business a long time, although they've already taken away my commercial driving license. I still drive, but no longer with a commercial driver's license, because I am now in my 70s. But I hope eventually to pass it on to the two boys. Both of them are showing good interest in the business.
George, are you still going on rafting trips? You still doing that?
Oh, I do. I get out at least 3 trips a year. This year I'm going on a rafting trip in Peru, and one in Laos, and one on the Green River in Utah.
I'm going to have to make that Grand River trip. I think I'm convinced after talking to you today that I've got to go do that. So, I another question I always ask people, I think it's again obvious, you're still having a good time running your business, aren't you?
Oh, I sure am. Yes, I'm just thrilled to have something that keeps me going. And people say, George, when are you going to retire? And I say, well, essentially, I am retired, but I work all the time, but work is fun.
That's not a bad deal. Well, George, you've been a great guest. Thank you so much for appearing on Driven to Business today. I think everyone's enjoyed hearing you, and you have a great company. Again, I'm not just a client of your company. I'm actually a fan of your company. I'll just tell you that.
Well, thank you, Eddie. You've been very generous, and yes, we'll have to start paying you a commission.
Well, anyway, thank you for being here today, and I hope to see you again on a river somewhere and tell all your folks there and the staff, Debbie and others there, I said hello.
I sure will.
And look forward to talking to you guys again. You've been listening to Driven to Business. I'm your host, Eddie Mayfield. We are here every Saturday morning at 11 o'clock here on WAFS Atlanta's Biz 1190. And let me just tell you that you can go to eddiemayfield.com and hear a podcast of today's program. Also, go there and look at blogs. We usually try to do write-ups about the folks that are interested there for George's trip today, especially. You'll see a link there to a blog I did about a trip through there. If you're thinking of a trip through the Grand Canyon or a rafting trip, you can just check it out from my angle. Again, thank you for being here. I'm Eddie Mayfield. We'll see you guys next week.